Welcome to Traveling the Bluegrass Uncut. I'm Alan Watts with your Ag Edge. On today's program, we hear comments from Carl Schwenke with Seymour Milling Company. He recently talked about wheat sustainability at the University of Kentucky Virtual Wheat Field Day in May.
Speak a little bit about sustainability. So bear with me. We're going to just walk through some highlights here, I think, of what that is. It's a common word we're using a lot, but I think there's a lot of things that we just don't quite know where to go with that and how it's all going to affect us and how we can participate. So we're part of that. We talk to food customers every day. Our customers are asking these kinds of questions, and in many cases we're just not sure quite how to answer that because of the complexities involved with trying to provide information for that consumer. I think much of it started, the way we phrase this is that beginning with the without the end in mind, and that comes from a Stephen Covey book that says The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People says that you should always begin with the end in mind. But when we're talking about sustainability, for years I've been feeling like we can't find the end, but we still need to talk about it and we still need to begin, even if we don't have the end in mind. So a little bit about Seymour Milling. I think most of you know, but we've got three mills here where we mill 20%, almost 20% of the soft wheat milled for human consumption in the United States. We've got three mills, one in Totopolis, which is our main location, our first location. Then we built Hopkinsville in 1995. And we followed up with a third mill in West Harrison, which is in Indiana, Ohio. And we also originate some wheat from central Kentucky into that mill as well. So we're still using Kentucky wheat in that operation as well. The Hopkinsville mill is 16,000 hundredweights per day. We use about 11,500,000 bushels of wheat per year. We have about 3.5 million bushels of storage there that we've developed over the years that didn't happen all at once. The original project started out, we're using about 3.5 million bushels a year. But we mill both hard and soft red winter wheat. But our portion of Kentucky consumption of wheat is about 145,000 acres of wheat per year. So that's about half the acreage in Kentucky that goes through our plant that comes out of Kentucky and Tennessee. So to the discussion about the sustainability, I think the early discussion started with the Walmart survey. That was a survey that was sent out. It was a collaboration between Arizona State University and with the University of Arkansas. And the Walmart group wanted to just survey things. We thought that was going to be a bellwether in the industry, that eventually we'd all be going towards that, and that would be our sourcing key indicators of how we would source wheat and source products to go into their plants, and that would be kind of the driving force there. It turns out that was done probably 10 years ago, but it's just been a survey. They wanted to survey the landscape and find out what was going on. They really didn't want to go to the institutions, the Fertilizer Institute, things like that, and get macro data. They really wanted to drive that down to the field level and find out what was going on in the field. But some of the key factors that we monitor with that, or that have been monitored, some are social, some are not. But over the, it wants to monitor year-over-year metrics, and those key indicators, some of those include the fertilizer use, chemical use, how much water is used on the crop to produce the crop, fuel use. It also encompasses deforestation and where you get your labor sources from. So there's a lot of things that go into that survey and the interest that comes from Walmart, and therefore Walmart is trying to convey that onto the consumer. So there's been a couple of new entries in there to try to collect that data. Some not so new. One is field to market. And the other one is the environmental, I can't read it on my screen, guys. Environmental Services Marketing Consortium. Field to market has been around for quite a while. One of the things that they do, obviously, is they collect that data. The premise that came out of the Walmart survey is that, yes, everybody is doing everything they can. They're always doing, they're optimizing every producer, every manufacturing facility for that matter, believes that they're always optimizing everything they can. But when you start to look at some of the data, maybe the data takes you in a different direction. And that's why the collection of the data is key, so that you can look at those numbers and see if you really are measuring, being able to, if you really are able to improve your process, and do you have data to support that? So that was the intent of field to market, is to go in and collect that data. The problem with field to market that we've seen as we've looked with that at over the years, and I'm very partial to Kentucky, but it doesn't include a Kentucky operation. It doesn't look at three crops in 2 years. It looks at corn as one entity, and it looks at beans in one entity as if you were sitting in a field in Des Moines, Iowa. So it really doesn't give a lot of credit to all the things that I believe, and I think you know, that are going on in Kentucky that contribute to the sustainability or the profitability or even the preservation, conservation of the resources that you have in your field, and in the end, to be good stewards of the field. But that model just doesn't encompass that, doesn't account for that. The Environmental Services Marketing Consortium is another company that's come up lately, and I think there's a few more. I'm sure I don't have a complete list of all that, but they're essentially doing the same thing. And they're, you know, in the abstract, everyone's trying to figure out how to participate, but in the end, somebody, as we've gone in with customers and talked to some of our flower users, the fact of the matter is really nobody wants to pay for that. So there's a real disconnect in how do you get that done if there's not an economic incentive in the marketplace, other than perhaps punitive and saying, I won't buy your product if you don't have it. In some specialty markets, that's just a criteria for producing the crop. But we're working with a commodity crop. It doesn't lend itself to that very well. And, everyone's trying to conserve those costs. So I think that's kind of the roadblock we've run into, is that how do we do that? We have worked with some of our customers on a limited basis of doing some surveys. We've reached out to some of our growers and had them participate at each of our plants in this just to get a survey data, but it's not anything that really comes in and says, hey, we're going to really make an impact on this. But I think in some ways it satisfies their corporate goals that they have to say we're doing something in the sustainability world and trying to know more about where our crops, our raw materials are coming from. Ran across this. There's a new term also that's coming up. I'm sure people have heard of this one as well. But it's called regenerative agriculture. And to me, this embodies what you do and Kentucky producers do in Kentucky. But the five core principles they work with is minimize soil disturbance, maximize crop diversity, keep your soil covered, maintain a living root year-round, integrate livestock. I'm not quite sure how about the livestock, how that's going to work, but evidently that's important to these core principles. But at least four of these are right in the mainstream of what I believe Kentucky is doing already in production agriculture. So I look at the takeaways on this. To me, I think we have to look at the system, not the crop. And that means corn, wheat, and beans, because we all know that, it's always good to have three crops in 2 years. I know some producers that have worked very hard at trying to make sure the ground is covered 12 months out of the year on all their enterprises. And the, you know, as we look at cash crops, cover crops, wheat certainly is a cover crop and has a lot of productive value in the system. We know from data generated for years that wheat in a rotation improves corn yields. You can look at study after study that shows that. So there's a benefit for all the crops to have diversity and have different crops growing at different times. And I think Kentucky already has that viable system. And I think the challenge we all have is that how do we convert that into something that adds value and improves the process and makes Kentucky a premier wheat growing and corn and beans, but in my perspective, a premier wheat growing area that continues to grow a quality crop year after year. The next steps, I don't have the magic ball of all the answers for this, but I think that most farmers, through their financial analysis and production analysis, continue to collect data. I think that data is still very good. Discussions that I've had with the University of Kentucky and Lloyd Murdoch, and it's all anecdotal, I think, but maybe Lloyd can quantify that. But But Kentucky agriculture has certainly been better off with their crop rotation had they not than if they had not done that, started that 30 years ago. It's just an amazing process that has retained a lot of soil, a lot of assets that otherwise, if collectively producers hadn't done this, their stewardship of the land would have been less, and then a lot of those nutrients and topsoil would have what little topsoil there is in Kentucky would have been washed down the river, and that is never a good thing. And that is I see that as I travel around. You look around at after a big rain, and you still see muddy ditches. And if there's anything I think that we're called to do, it's to make sure that that soil stays where it needs to be in the field. And I think that in the end, I think these steps will help promote Kentucky agriculture. So I think that's we're certainly involved in that. And but again, just to kind of summarize, it's still murky out there to try to find what people are really wanting to do and wanting to pay for and how they want to share that information. Even if we pulled all the data together from every Kentucky farmer, I'm not sure what it would tell the people on the other end. But perhaps maybe we need to start with some of that and see what it does tell us.
Our guest today has been Carl Schwenke with Samer Milling Company. I'm Alan Watts with your Ag Edge.